Okay, thank you. Now, just, is it Aidan or Reardon?
Aidan
or Reardon. Reardon, okay. I only need to say it twice during the speech. So. Reardon, okay. All right. So, yeah, the background here is that I was given two themes that this conference would be addressing. So, and then I thought, well, actually, I could really speak on both of those. So we agreed to do two short speeches, but then one of them grew. So anyway, this is the second one. And it's because it is a very, it's an interesting topic. So I'll give you the background. The Equality Minister, Aidan O'Riordan, declared during a debate about discrimination against Irish travellers the following, and I'm going to read out the whole quote. "Since the foundation of this state, we have experimented with what may be termed sameness. Sameness is a lie. Since the foundation of this state, people with mental health challenges have been incarcerated. Approximately 200,000 people with mental health issues were incarcerated in the 50s. And notice how he's bringing in something from the 50s, like 60, 70 years ago, as an argument against sameness or commonality. Young mothers who were unmarried were told that they were wrong and had to be placed in laundries. People who had troubled backgrounds and behavioural difficulties were also told that they were wrong and had to be sent to industrial schools." So again, it's these negative, unfortunate things that are being used to represent the whole thing, and therefore the whole thing doesn't exist because these are outliers and so on. So, sameness is a lie while diversity is the truth. Diversity is the only truth that existed in the past. It is the only truth that can exist now. And it is the only truth that can exist in the future. Yeah, he's really laying it down. "Members of this House, regardless of our political differences, should stand by truth. The truth is that the traveller community in this state is a distinct ethnic group. They are a people and a part of this nation, and they deserve recognition in that regard." So that is Aidan O'Riordan, and that's the full quote. And so the salient part of it is, sameness is a lie while diversity is the truth. Now, to be honest, I am surprised that this statement, or variants of it, is not more widely disseminated by our enemies, because it could be very useful to them for three separate reasons. It neatly sums up what they already think or believe. It does so in such stark terms that it effectively advances their narrative to a new phase. And three, it is scientifically true. And I'll get into that. So for these three reasons, I suspect that our enemies will begin using this statement or things similar to it in the future, and therefore it is worth our time to study the statement now. But before I begin, we should obviously point out that when he says sameness, he's using that because it sounds negative and boring. And what he really means is commonality, kindredness, and peoplehood. And I will be using the term peoplehood as often as possible in this speech, in opposition to sameness. He is equating the two things, which I think is dishonest and misleading. So, but the main statement, of course, is that if sameness doesn't scientifically exist, then peoplehood doesn't exist, and it's a delusion. Now, of course, let's get this over with. Our opponents, our enemies, only dare say this about white peoples. Now, that white peoples don't exist, and to think that you're part of a white people, white group, is to be deluded. Now, maybe they do secretly believe this about all peoples, but for now only feel safe saying it about white peoples. For what it's worth, I think only the useful idiots and the idealists among our opposition believe this at all, that there are no groups. I think the leaders of our opposition know damned well that peoples exist, and that peoplehood is not a lie. But they don't care about the other races. They just want to destroy whites. But on a day-to-day basis, it's the useful idiots that we have to deal with. It is they, and some of them hold worryingly senior positions in our societies, who parrot this drivel and promote it and punish those who reject it. So the statement, to recap, is sameness is a lie while diversity is the truth. Now, first of all, it neatly sums up what they already think. Specifically, the part about diversity being the only truth. Most leftists today allude to the part about sameness being a lie. They'll allude to it. They'll say something like, everyone's different. There are loads of British people I don't like, or loads of Irish people I don't like. So what do I have in common with them? And so on. But they don't really state it explicitly. Not yet. What they do state explicitly is that the world is diverse. The human species is diverse. Cultures are diverse. Lifestyles are diverse. Diversity is the truth, and it is good. And the only attitude towards it that is honest and productive is one of acceptance and celebration. But this is all really about diversity. The sameness thing that Aidan O'Riordan said is, I think it's very new. So number two, it states what they believe in such stark terms that it effectively advances their narrative to a new phase. The statement, sameness is a lie, diversity is the truth, makes it seem impossible and irrational to even begin forming group identities, or what I would more warmly call peoplehoods, because this task must always be delusional, since there is no sameness to build upon, no commonality to build upon, only the endless chaos of diversity. It breaks down the sense of unity that can and should exist within a people by stating that its members are not entirely the same as each other. It also breaks down the sense of that unity and thereby breaks down the unity itself. Now, it's possible that the unity will reassert itself naturally in a time of crisis, but I don't think we can afford to just rely on that. Finally, it cheapens, negates, and denies the sanctity of a people, which is an important thing in itself. The idea of a people, a group. See, the word group is so sterile. A group could be anything. We're talking about peoples, ethnic groups, ethnicities, like huge human stories that are centuries, even millennia in the making. And the word group just doesn't sum that up. It sounds crap. It sounds cold. Unfortunately, I do have to use the word group sometimes throughout this speech, but what I'm really talking about is peoples. And peoples are sacred, or they should be. Certainly to members of each people, that people should be sacred. So, and the third thing, the third part of this, is that the statement is scientifically true. No two organisms are exactly the same. This is the kind of thing that's almost embarrassing to say. You've got to agree with it so that you can then get on with showing how it's a stupid thing to say anyway. No two organisms are exactly the same. You will not find sameness in any two organisms on the planet. You will find similarities between them, but never total sameness. Crucially, even if we acknowledge the existence of a people, no two members of that people, that group, are the same. So diversity is everywhere. Aidan O'Riordan is correct. Diversity is everywhere, between peoples and within peoples. Any two individuals of any description equals diversity. So the statement is scientifically true. And yet, the statement does not reflect the way we perceive the world. When used as a summation of the human experience, it is a lie. It is dishonest. It is inaccurate. Because we do see groups, or to put it in human terms, we see peoples. We do not perceive the human species as a massive number of unconnected, 100% unique individuals who defy categorization, who defy association with identities, with stories, or with certain other individuals, and who exhibit traits on a purely random basis, with no predictability or predetermination. That is not at all how we witness each other. We effortlessly divide the species into subgroups, and some of those subgroups can further divide down again. And some of these subgroups overlap. But big deal. Some individuals do belong to more than one subgroup. So what? The subgroups confront us in our perceptions every day, in spite of these complexities. So we feel, not only do we see subgroups, peoples, we also feel our own connection to a people. And that is not a delusion, because it is agreed upon by every other member of that people. And that's all you need. You know, once you have that agreement, yes, we are a group, we are a people, then that people exists. And that's even disregarding the genetic evidence for a group, which is plentiful. So it is not a delusion. It can be negated with intellectual masturbation, but it can't be made false. Now, if we were to accept that diversity is the truth, then equality becomes impossible between individuals, but also between sets of individuals, because you could no longer have identity politics. This is part of the delusion of the age that we live in. We are expected to celebrate diversity, yet simultaneously pretend that it doesn't matter. And Aidan O'Riordan actually unwittingly admits this when he says that sameness is a lie, but in the next breath, that the travellers are a distinct community. Did it not occur to him that's a direct contradiction? Did it not occur to anyone else in that meeting that that was a direct contradiction? So if sameness or commonality or peoplehood is a lie, then there can be no group recognition, there can be no affirmative action, for example, there could be no Black History Month, and also there could be no normal life. Because, of course, we do perceive these things, these groupings. And the denial of them, and the denial of this fact of our perception, causes us confusion and distress. And another funny thing is, if we accept that there is no sameness, that there are no groups, then you could no longer have hate crime or hate speech. Because, of course, how can you be racist if races don't exist? It's just kind of annoying, really, that we have to point this stuff out. Now I'm going to talk briefly about several aspects of this, the usefulness of sameness. And here, you could think about anyone, you could think about Vincent van Gogh as a representative of the Dutch, or whatever, but the one I'm going to use is the author Alan Garner as a representative of the English. He is an Englishman, and as such, he represents the English people. His writing, his books, speak of them and their folklore by being an example of it, a continuation of it, which references earlier iterations of it. Each Englishman, and you could say this about Irishmen, Scotsmen, and so on, each Englishman speaks of Englishmen as a concept by being an embodiment of them, an example of them. Through his own uniqueness as an individual, he might add to their story. Or he might not. Some people aren't that unique. Or they are so, alternatively, they can be so unique that their attributes can't be seen as artifacts of their group because they're just so wildly divergent. But that is so rare, and such individuals are so rare as to be not worth mentioning. The point is, the fact of the matter is, that certainly talented, ambitious, and or intelligent individuals will add to their groups, their people's story. But that adding and that story are only possible if we accept the premise that each of these individuals is in some crucial way the same as the other individuals that make up his people, now and in the past. So if you deny that, you're basically trivializing everything. Because everything just becomes meaningless and disconnected. So now the dignity of sameness, and this is what I was really alluding to there. If we spend our lives enraptured by diversity, we are never really being serious. It's an endless hunt for novelty, for sensation. And this is understandable in a small child or a hyperactive adolescent, but not in adults, and not in serious people, and not in people who understand seriousness and have respect for depth. In the end, to seek only diversity from every person that you meet is to expect them to deliver something that they can't possibly deliver, and also to treat them as mere objects for your entertainment. By contrast, to accept the concept of sameness, or peoplehood, roots everything in a historical context, and rewards us with dignity for having perceived and respected that context. And now, the fact of sameness. I documented a long time ago on the channel my interactions with a British Asian guy. And one of the things that he said to me, he was sort of very westernized Indian guy and very progressive, sort of ex-hippie. One of the things he said to me was, don't put people in boxes. Because he objected to the idea that, I think I said something about Brahmins because he was a Brahmin. And he said, no, that doesn't apply to me. That all, not all Brahmins are like that, to coin a phrase. And he said, so don't put people in boxes. And admonished me for using stereotypes. Yet stereotypes are essential if we are to make sense of life. Stereotypes enable us to protect ourselves, but also to prepare ourselves for a more substantive interaction with the other, with a stranger, with a new person, during which interaction we will discover their own unique nuances and so on. But the stereotype that we have in our heads of that individual's people is useful, as long as we don't adhere strictly to it and refuse to accept any contradictions, then it's a useful heuristic, it's a useful beginning. And ironically, that guy, that British Indian guy, is only too happy to use stereotypes about white working class people, upon whom he pours scorn almost daily on Facebook, and it's remarkable. It really is. The lack of self-awareness is amazing. He also pours openly despises white people in general for being close-minded, even while he lives in our countries. But there's a lot that could be said about that just in and of itself, but I think you get the point, which is that sameness is a fact, but we are encouraged to ignore it and not see it when seeing it would be advantageous to us surviving as a group, as a people. And then finally, the delusion of no sameness, the delusion of saying that there is no sameness. Social justice warriors pretend to see only diversity, and they're amazed that anyone, they're baffled and perplexed and infuriated that anyone would not see diversity everywhere in every two people. And for them, sameness, where it exists, springs purely from unimaginative adherence to cultural convention. Other people just aren't as rebellious as them, and therefore they're drones and whatever, drink the Kool-Aid and all that. I don't know what the phrases are nowadays, but it's the same sort of thing that left have been saying for decades. So that's the SJWs. The centrists pretend to see sameness across all peoples. They recognize peoples, groups, but not their importance. They'll say, well, we all bleed red and all that platitudes. They see diversity as just a sideshow that doesn't actually mean anything. But we nationalists perceive and admit to perceiving both sameness and diversity. Both peoplehood and individuals. And this acceptance of duality manifests all over nationalism and is what sets it apart from, I would say, the rest of the political arena. Only nationalists in practice understand that there is a need for the self and for the other, for the left and for the right, for egalitarianism and hierarchy, for the community and for the entrepreneur, for the normal and for the eccentric, and for tradition and open-minded curiosity. and that there is a need to recognize the reality of diversity and the reality of peoplehood, or the local and the global. There are many different ways to articulate that. So our awareness of peoplehood and its implications forms a prejudgment of, and yes, a prejudice towards, each individual that we meet, or see, or hear about, or even imagine. But this prejudice, this prejudging, is not the end of the world. On the contrary, as thinking, feeling, sentient creatures, it is the start of our world. Thank you.
Okay.